For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Won't answer that. Ring, 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 ring. Another missed call. He won't answer his phone. Really sorry I missed y'all. Really sorry I missed y'all. Should've hit the brick. Won't answer that. Ring, 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 ring. Another missed call. He won't answer his phone. Really sorry I missed y'all. Really sorry I missed y'all. Should've hit the brick.
Good afternoon, happy Wednesday, welcome to Indeed, it's the Independent Wrestling Podcast here on Fightful Overbooked. I'm Mike, here to talk some independent wrestling with my amazing co-host, Righteous Reg. As you saw by the clip from the beginning of the video, I didn't die, I'm alive here. It is Wednesday, September 6th, and I am sitting at my desk, so our guest today didn't kill me, which is fantastic. But before we get to talking about him, how are you doing today, Reg?
I am doing pretty well. It's your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster, media man, Righteous Reg in the building. Very excited to be here. It's been a long week. I finally got some rest, finally caught up on the California time after spending some time in Chicago. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, you had a really, really busy weekend. I talked to you throughout it. Sounded like you got up to some fun shit pretty much the whole time you were there. So yeah. That's fantastic. But we're not here to talk about you. We're here to talk to our wonderful guest sitting below me right now, Big Ben Ortmans. How are you doing today, Ben?
I am doing very well. I'm excited for season two of Uproar to begin tonight. It was fun getting back to work on Friday and getting back into the studio and getting these tapings done. And this is... You know, it's a very stressful gig, kind of trying to put together a weekly show that I'm sure that we'll get into in a little bit. But it felt very good to get back to work, and I'm excited for everybody to see what we've been working on, because we've obviously got stories that we've been telling in our first season, you know, that will carry over into our second. We have new ones starting, we have new talent starting, we have updated production stuff that you'll see that you've already seen so far, and just some of the stuff that we've put out so far. So I'm excited for everybody to check it out. And just in honor of my celebratory of having, you know, episode one air tonight, I hope you guys don't mind, but I'm gonna have a little bit of a celebratory Steve Weiser. I don't normally drink, but I feel like if there was ever a day to enjoy one, this is going to be it. So cheers, guys.
Cheers. Hey, you talk about the return. I want to know about how important is it to have a break between all of this stuff? Because, you know, wrestling, we are used to just like constantly 52 weeks a year, every week it's pro wrestling. But how important is it to have a break in between to kind of, you know, get everything straight again before you go back into it?
That's a great question. I planned the break just because I didn't really, so I'll be honest, like when we started the season, I didn't really have like a plan for like an end of a season. I just knew that we were getting to a point where it was just like the show needed a break. The talent needed a break. I needed a break. So I just kind of made the decision to have seasons. And, you know, not that it was my, it's not something I invented. I completely stole it from C4, you know, or borrowed, you know, they're good friends of ours,
right?
Blatantly stole, rather. But you know, for me, I definitely needed it, just because, if I'm being completely honest, like I've said, it's a very difficult task to put together a weekly television show essentially on no budget.
Yeah.
You know, like the tickets are very very inexpensive, and that's done for a reason. So then that way we can try to get, you know, repeat customers and have them come back every other Friday. Cause you know, if we were to charge, you know, typical show prices for, you know, every single other Friday, that's a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make things affordable for people. So, when your income is only as little as it is, then, you know, it just, it's tough. So, we did the best that we could, and I thought that we put together an absolutely incredible project, an incredible first season. We were super lucky to have, you know, Veda Scott and Speedball Mike Bailey be unbelievably excited to be a part of the commentating team and really help us get some extra eyeballs on it that maybe it wouldn't have otherwise, if I'm being completely honest. But going back to your original question, the break was super important for me because, again, I was kind of getting to the burnout stage. Now, what I didn't see coming was that I was hoping to kind of actually take a break, you know, and like do nothing. What I didn't expect was that some personal stuff happened with my business partner where he needed to kind of exit the business side of things. So I kind of have been taking over the like Crossbody Studios by myself, essentially. And, you know, our other coach, Tyler Thomas, was gone for the summer because, you know, he's a good boy, and he works with youth camps and whatnot. And that's what he does. So it left a lot on my plate at like this really strange time when I was hoping to do nothing. But, you know, it's been nonstop ever since. And now I'm in that period where I'm juggling both. So it's even more on my plate. So if anybody ever wonders why I'm like hard to get a hold of, or like just randomly stressed out, if I'm just like having a conversation and just, you know, have like a Tourette's moment where I'm just like, just a lot of hours, man. That's just a lot of hours I put in, but it's a labor of love, you know? And that's really what it boils down to. Like, to answer your question, I love, love, love what I do.
Mm-hmm. And, you kind of spoke about some of the challenges of coming up with a weekly show. So for those that aren't really familiar, you know, kind of the quick film, Crossbody Pro Wrestling Uproar, you're essentially running a weekly broadcast on YouTube that is on a every 2 week taping schedule.
Correct.
So,
and we tape two episodes every time that we tape. So then that way we keep a actual a weekly episodic schedule going, which is obviously the plan.
Hi, Demand Lucha.
Man, I appreciate that, Demand Lucha. Thank you very, very much.
Of course, Lawrence. Hi, Lawrence.
Lawrence, good guy. Very good guy. I was caught off by the nice comments there. Sorry. The question again was,
so I was kind of breaking down like the taping schedule. I was obviously, like, I was at the first, you know, I was at the first, the taping of the first two episodes last week on Friday. You mentioned also, you know, wanting to kind of build some, you know, make things so people would want to come back and able to, you know, be regular there. And I did notice from the season finale, nice 2 month break. And then came back last week, and I saw so many people there last week that I remember their face from the season finale. And then a lot of new people, too, that I hadn't seen before, which was very cool. But with having to, you know, this 2 week schedule, you know, what's the how much time are you spending on, like, you know, coming up with, you know, storylines and, you know, the creative process for coming up with the show?
Not to give too much away, but I don't just have a time where I sit down and just be like, well, I'm going to book today's episode. Like, that's just not how my brain processes. Like, I'm very much a, I constantly think about it, you know, like my wheels are constantly spinning. Like, you can ask the people that I work with, you can ask like my students, you can ask my girlfriend. Like, I'm just, it doesn't escape me ever. So like, I'm just constantly just in a thought process about all of this stuff. Right. So sometimes, like, in just like the most random circumstance, like something will come to me, and, you know, that's how I feel not only my best work as like a writer, but I feel like it's also just my best work as like a coach as well. And just like a producer and just someone who's trying to genuinely do what I can to help elevate like our younger talent within the area, especially like the ones that are putting the effort in, that want to be elevated and want to kind of get themselves to that next level. It's just, it's, it has to come organically, you know? Yeah. And like when the thoughts and like the ideas come organically and I have those thoughts and then all of a sudden I'm just like, it kind of gives you that like emotional, like adrenaline rush. I know that if it does that for me, it'll do that for somebody else.
Right.
And that's kind of how I try to think about stuff. Like, you know, sometimes you run out of time and you kind of just have to put something together. Obviously that happens, but, like to give you an example, I very much love a long game story. I love planting seeds. I love dangling things in front of people's faces where they don't even have the slightest idea that it's been dangling in front of them the entire time. I love that shit. I love it. Sorry, am I allowed to cuss, by the way?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. I'll try not to do it excessively, but I love that shit. And I love coming up with those ideas. So when they come to me organically and I feel that they've got something, like if it moves me somehow, I usually tend to go with my gut and my heart. There are other times when I try to listen to other people's ideas just because I know that I don't know everything. And I feel like that is a strength of mine because an example of that, my student Nilo Reyes, you know, I don't think anybody has worked with that young man as much as I have. And when he was coming up and he was trying to figure out what his gimmick was going to be, he was having a difficult time putting something together. And then I just remember the one night just being like, dude, you have to be an anime guy. Like I don't understand anime. I've never watched a single episode of anime. I don't dislike anime. It's not in my wheel well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. What I do know is that a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Just because I don't get it doesn't mean that an obscene amount of people don't get it. And I'm smart enough to know that. So my whole thought process was, is just like, if you were to be like a real life anime character, if one kid, and I guarantee if there is a kid in there, that kid's going to look at Nilo and be like, that's a real life thing that I watch. Like wow. Like, you know, and that's oddly enough, the very first taping that we had for Uproar, which was his first match, there was a kid down there like in the audience and he was crying because he was telling his like mom, who ended up telling a friend of ours at the door, that she was like, her son was just blown away that this thing that he like watched on TV and just didn't ever think that he could like talk to a real life version of it was like in front of him. And I know that might sound crazy, but it's not at all at the same time, because if people love that stuff and they can relate to that stuff and it makes them feel something, that is absolutely what we're trying to do here. And just because I don't get it doesn't mean that I don't want it a part of my universe for other people to enjoy it. So I do get input from other people, and I'm definitely smart enough and been a lot more lenient towards ideas coming in a lot, especially like in the last half of the season and like even going forward. Like, again, not to be too inside baseball, but if you do watch Uproar, Mike Flash is like my underground heater, that if it wasn't for him, I don't know if the show would be even close to as good as it is, just because of the ideas that he's put forth and the effort he's put forth. And you know, Mike and I go back a long way. So I trusted his creativity and ideas. And what a lot of people don't know about Mike, if you haven't like done any like research on Mike, why would you, if you just watch Uproar or whatever, he was a writer for the Edge and Christian show. You know, like the dude's got chops. Like if you've ever been to a movie theater in Canada, you've heard Mike. He's a voiceover guy as well. You would know Mike's voice very well. He's the guy that tells you not to be a Tommy Texter.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Oh no, I know exactly the I'm familiar with this PSA at the beginning of like every movie I saw for a good run there.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And you know, like he's like I said, like he's a genius, like an absolute creative genius. And like I was so thankful that he was like on board with us for the for that first season, because again, having somebody that understands my creativity and my craziness at the same time was just a fantastic, like yin to my yang.
So like Crossbody, so Crossbody's been around now for, you know, what, I think 2016, 2017, I think about, you know, going on 7 years now. Right.
Are you talking about October the promotion 1st? Or the gym? The I was going to say the promotion is coming up on 7 years.
7 years, right?
So but, the reason why we're doing the show on the Sunday is because that is the actual birthday of our show. Like we first show was October 1st, 2016, I believe it was. Mm. Yeah, because we started the gym in 2014. Yes. So October 1st, 2016 was our very, very first show ever. So that's why it was super important to me to do it on the Sunday. Had I known that AEW was going to be doing a Japanese pay-per-view, that'd be a different story. But thankfully, we have an AEW talent that is going to be on our show for that one as well. So
sweet.
Hey, let's go. And I do want to talk about that in a moment. But so starting in 2016, Uproar is in season, you know, we're getting into season two of Uproar. Where, like, when did the idea to actually, you know, do the weekly Uproar show, like, what did that all stem from?
Great question. So I was just doing like shows, you know, like kind of like 10 shows a year kind of thing when we first started. Mm-hmm. And then I really wanted to, it kind of drifted away from what the original idea was. 'Cause the original idea was to have like, have a place for our students to wrestle and to kind of bring in like some talented friends of mine to kind of help build the entire thing. But at the same time too, you know, a big goal of mine was to kind of try to give our audience something different than what they were getting from the other company that was in the area. Just not to be an asshole. It was literally just to separate ourselves from them, just to kind of not to try to, if anything, I didn't want to be in competition with them. And I still don't want to be in, I don't want to be in competition with anybody other than myself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like they had a very old school style of doing things and like a very, like an 80s style, I guess, would be the best way to explain it. And I was really hoping to provide like this newer, like, hybrid indie, like fucking hard work, let's go, like strong style, like, you know, like I wanted to be just completely different. And because, you know, at the time I saw MMA coming into pro wrestling and I just knew that that was going to be a thing. And I knew that it was going to integrate itself in and be like a gigantic part of the business going forward. So I kind of wanted to lean towards that as well. So again, like that was the thought process, but by the time that we got to the show, I just didn't have enough students that were ready to be a part of it. And then it kind of got away from that because I had to just bring in guys, you know, like there was a couple of students that were on there, but certainly not enough to fill a show. Then once it got to the point where, you know, like we had enough students to fill a show and then there was all these other young people that really wanted opportunity that I couldn't provide opportunity to. I remember talking to Holden Albright and we were kind of like, it was originally his idea. Like he wanted to do something along the lines of like a weekly show for like the younger guys. But the way that he kind of pitched it to me, it just didn't really work at the time. And it just didn't, at the time it didn't work. And then I think it was like a year later. I was remembering his idea that he pitched to me. And then I kind of just started thinking of ways that I could kind of put my own spin on it. And it wasn't to make it different than his. It was just like, well, if I was going to do it, like I would want to do it this way and blah, 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 blah. So what ended up happening was, I created this thing called the Showcase Series. So the Showcase Series essentially became a place for younger talent and like talent that was still on the way up to come and get a bi-weekly spot. And that's where we started the every other Friday shows. you know, Holden Albright was doing every other Friday. Alexia was doing every other Friday. Like Fuerza was on damn near every single show. Like there was a, like, if you look at who came and who stemmed from that entire like group of shows, like when Crossbody, like, I think it was at one point in time, if I remember correctly, between regular shows, showcase series shows, I think in like, I had had like 60 shows or something like that in the course of like a year and a half. Like it was kind of bonkers, like the number of shows that we had done and just the amount of growth that like everybody in our team had made. So, once the pandemic hit, there was, you know, there was nothing. And then once we came back from the pandemic, it became, a very much a, how do we go about this kind of a thing? So I remember putting together like this TV taping that we were going to do that we had, you know, kind of long story short, I was actually like working with the province and like the city of Kitchener to kind of help put a plan together for people to start coming back. And it was like to kind of make sure that everybody would be safe and everything. Like, I was basically helping like the live events department, like create their comeback stuff. So helped them out, got everything kind of moving forward on that. Got permission from all of the parties that were involved. They were going to come and be a part of the studio taping. We had like, I had everybody's matches planned throughout this 8-hour period where like this match would be in through this block of time and then they got to go. So that way the next batch comes in the building and whatnot. Like it was, and I even had like a way for fans to be a part of it. Like it was very well, like put together. And then like a week before we were set to do it, they pulled the plug. I can't remember why, but they pulled the plug.
Oh, was that the was that like the second wave Ontario lockdown for Omicron?
You're probably right because it was close to the end.
I was yeah.
But then, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, it's okay. Go ahead. Yeah,
I was trying to give myself an excuse to drink, but that's
Come on, Mike.
I
should have chopped them harder, Reg.
Shit. Yeah, I know. See, you know, for next time.
Tying this all around.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't do chest press till like yesterday.
But you're good, right?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah, yeah, I'm good.
Ben's like genuinely concerned for a sec there. But you're good, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it didn't. Yeah, didn't feel any waiver before I took that. You know.
No. Not in this business.
No, but sorry, where did I leave off at there before we got sidetracked? I'm having a bit of a mental burp here.
The show got pulled right before you're going to do the big.
Right. So thank you guys. So when it came time to kind of like where we got like the, you know, go ahead to like actually move forward with things and start to welcome people back, you know, like we waited, like I was like, it's funny. Cause I was like I was trying to be the first person to like come back. But then when we were allowed to come back, I was like, I'm going to be the last motherfucker coming back. Cause I put too much work into this shit and I've already been shut down so many times. I'm like, nope. So then everything was starting to be cool and everybody seemed to be all right. So then I remember I put together like this 3-show month where the first show we did a fundraiser for Hacker and his family, where we raised, it was like $1,300 for them or something like that. It was a good number. And then the second week we did a fundraiser for Danhausen, who had just broken his leg. Mm-hmm. And this was right in between that time where he was in Ring of Honor and then they shut down, and it was right before he had gotten signed to AEW. So like there was like this lull where he had nothing, and it was like Christmas time. And if you know anything about Crossbody, like Danhausen is probably one of the guys that helped put us on the map. And I'll be forever like thankful for Danhausen. So when the opportunity came about to try to help him when he was in a time of need, I wanted to do what I could for him. And then the week afterwards, we did a fundraiser for the Humane Society in Cambridge.
Oh, nice.
So then once we got past that, I was trying to figure, like, I remember we took a couple more months off, and then I was trying to just figure out what the hell to do. And then we'd had a couple of shows, and then I remember, like, things got bad financially. Like, real bad financially. Like I lost my ass. Like I lost if, because the, I'd never had a single sponsor, you know, I was literally doing it all out of pocket. And there were like two shows back to back where I lost my ass and I had to like kind of call it wraps for a little while. And then I was trying to figure out whether or not I was just going to shut it down for good or if I was going to move forward. And then if I was going to move forward, how would I go about it? And then I was trying to figure out a way that I could kind of combine what I was doing with the showcase series with the big show and make them a thing, you know? So that's when I came up with the concept of Uproar. And then when I came up with this concept, I was just, you know, if you know anything about me, like one of my best friends is Speedball Mike Bailey. And like, we, you know, talk a lot and obviously talk a lot about our ideas in wrestling. And then that was one that came up immediately. And then we've just kind of going back and forth on, you know, what we would be able to do to make it work. And then I was just like, well, you know, like, fuck, I need a commentating team. And I was, even though he's like one of my best friends, I wasn't going to have the balls to ask him to do it. But then he asked me if they could do it. And I wasn't going to say no to that. So when I realized that I kind of had all of these different perfect puzzle pieces to kind of actually move forward with a project like this, I decided that, you know, like I like to be an innovator. You see, there's plenty of showcase series babies that are out throughout Ontario and like throughout on like Canada now at this point. And like, it's to the point where like, I actually appreciate that they call them showcases and like, or like showcase series. I've seen them. And it's kind of like, I don't even take offense to it or like get mad at it. I'm very flattered by it. But I wanted to innovate something else and do something else that nobody was doing. So I figured let's do the fucking weekly thing. Because I don't know of any other independent company that does a weekly project, and my entire production background that I was doing was working in a weekly television format. So what better way for me to help build the youth of wrestling around our area, get the word out about Canadian pro wrestling, and like at the same time give Canadian pro wrestling a platform for people to be able to watch something on a weekly basis. So then that way they can kind of see what the hell we are and what we're about, you know? Everybody has been, you know, kind of spouting off, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but like kind of saying, it's just like, hey, look at Canada, look at us. Like we've got the best talent in the world or whatever, what have you, like we need more eyeballs on us. Well, I put my money where my mouth was and said, all right, let's go. Here's the platform, everybody. And the funny thing is that Canada in like statistically, as far as who watches Uproar is like the third most, as far as like who watches, like they're in third, as far as like where the views come from. So, it oddly does get watched all over the world. So that's kind of a nice thing to be able to provide for our, the guys that are on our roster and for our production staff that works their ass off on all of this stuff, you know?
Absolutely. I've met like pretty much most of the crew around there now, and everyone's just like super nice, always happy to be there. Everyone's always trying to help out. Everyone's, you know, like I haven't had a conversation with anyone where they've been like had complaints or anything like that. You know, shout out to cameraman Dylan, by the way. Had a chatting with him outside for like far too long last week, but
he's a gym.
What? So you said Canada's number three. What are number one and two? Where are you? Where is the most viewership for Crossbody? Like for Uproar coming from?
The last time that I looked, it was UK and America. It went UK, okay. America, Canada, India, Japan.
Wow.
Ooh.
Those were the top five. And I thought that was kind of like funny, but cool at the same time, because I was just like, okay, so it's funny that, you know, I'm trying to provide this Canadian content for everybody to watch and Canada doesn't even like really watch it. Cause you can, you know, that a lot of the views are just coming from the boys and like their friends and family and stuff like that. So shout out to the people that, you know, say support Canadian wrestling and then completely don't.
Yep.
Oh, that's a whole other can of worms right there, mm-hmm. Ben.
That's sorry. Did I crack a can of worms? My bad.
Hey, you can do whatever you want with that can of worms. That's mm-hmm. that. This is the floor. That is something. It is kind of a point of discussion always. Though, like every time we have a Canadian guest on here, it's like, you know, the hardships of being up here in Canada, mm-hmm. being a wrestler in Canada, let alone a promotion in Canada. Also, like, you know, trying to get eyeballs on you. So I, you know, it is one of the things that I do like so much about Crossbody is that you not only have the academy where you're training Canadian, you know, training the next, you know, future Canadian wrestling stars, but then you have this like uproar now for something for them kind of to work towards while they're training, because obviously, you know, better, you know, that your higher end students do end up getting onto the shows, but then also they kind of get this aspect of training with the idea of being filmed
mm-hmm.
in mind. So like, how much does that play into the training that you're doing at the academy?
A lot, like probably for the most part, like if it's 2023, if mm-hmm. you as a coach are not teaching your students how to wrestle on television, you are teaching them wrestling incorrectly and you are setting them up for failure immediately, because the reality is all of wrestling is for television nowadays. Mm-hmm. All of it's filmed for something, for somewhere. If you do not, as a performer, understand where your hard camera is, if you do not know where your roaming cameras are, if you do not know what your times are, what your entrance times are, what your match times are, what your outro times are, if you don't know those, that is a very, very large problem. So with that in mind, that's how we train our guys. Like when we train for like a specific spot or something like that, we train with, you know, and this is kind of where our kids are lucky, because like our ring stays where it is, like as far mm-hmm. as like the, you know, the tapings go. So they know where hard cam is. You know, we keep everything for the most part set up, because at the same time, I'm also a firm believer in like repetition, and also at the same time being familiar. You know, if you're training in the same like frame, like television style studio that you're going to eventually do your matches in, then how are you going to be any more comfortable and kind of try to get to know your surroundings better than that? You know, like it's very clear whenever we go over a lot of our stuff, it's just like we basically go over things with television in mind, with hard cam in mind, with roamers in mind and stuff like that. So it's a very, very huge part of the training.
That's pretty amazing. It starts at like the wrestlers are starting out TV ready, as they say, which kind of separates them from the pack a little bit.
I think, and it's just my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, I think you have to be, because the reality is people are getting opportunities far more quicker than I ever did when I first started.
There were some people on Dark after like three matches or something crazy like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, there's even people like it's, And I'm not trying to put them on blast, but I mean, like whenever like the WWE comes to town, and whenever they have for like the last 10 years, the majority of the kids that get work there are Santino's kids who have either barely had a match or had like two matches. And, mm-hmm. And it's great on them. You know, they found that they're in, but at the same time, that's just not how it was when I first started.
Right.
When I first started, like if you were not the best dude in your area, you weren't getting looked at by them, because they wanted the top. They wanted people that were ready, you know? So nowadays it's a different story. Like they would almost rather get you younger, so then that way they can mold you and not have to eat away all of your bad habits. They would rather try to create good habits and their habits, you know, while you're still young and still have that potential. So if you don't get them ready for that now, I just think that you're not setting them up for that opportunity to have it all.
think that's a it's a smart approach, because like you mentioned, you look on IWTV, IWTV or Fight Plus, or even YouTube, and there are hundreds of promotions now where it's like pretty much everybody is filming something in some way, shape, or form. So like having that knowledge from the onset is only going to be, I think, more beneficial, especially like it's only going to happen more as time progresses.
Right.
I don't think less places will stream.
You know that phrase, like, dress for the job you want, not for the one that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of a similar approach. Where do, if you're a wrestler, chances are you want to wrestle on television, right?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you want to be ready for it when the time comes? You know, it's the same thing.
100%. Gonna get to this chat real quick here. SP3 popped in to say shout out to the homies Reg and Mike. Gotta meet Mike now that I checked off Reg in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I did see that picture. Oh man, and then also nice to meet Ben and support Crossbody Pro Wrestling. Here we go.
Thanks, SP3. Appreciate it.
SP3, one of the nicest people out here, honestly.
1000%. Yeah, one of the coolest people out here.
Got a nice another nice one here. Shout out to Crossbody Pro Wrestling, curating a community for both for talent, both students getting a showcase in Canadian and international indie talent to shine, gaining exposure on a major scale, especially online. Wow. And
thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So we do have the season premiere of Uproar tonight coming up. I've got four cool matches on the docket for that, and we did also touch on the 7-year anniversary show. Featured kind of across both Uproar and definitely featured at the 7-year anniversary show. You've got always some Crossbody Pro Wrestling students and alumni. Like who are some of the people who've like come out of the school that you want the world to know about, and they should be on all it, they should be everywhere.
Crystal Moon, first of all, is like my, listen, it's no disrespect to the rest of my kids. I love you, but like, she's my daughter. You know, she's like our only girl that has graduated the school thus far. The next one is like on her way. She's just in college at the moment. But my God, is she going to be a dog when she's ready? Like she's great. Like she's good, man. Crystal Moon, that's like the apple of my eye. She's incredible. She's come so far. She's at this really great stage in her career where like she has come so far. She's really at a next level, and like she's just got levels to go. And that's the beauty part, is like there's just she's ready to rock, she's ready to go with the best of them, and will continue to get better. So just watching her makes me very proud and very excited as well, just because you get the students so far, and then at some point it's up to them to kind of go and challenge themselves to become and set their legacy for themselves. So, that girl's she's worked her ass off, and she's got some big things ahead of her. So I'm very excited to see how that works out. Brother Earth is another kid of ours that I'm just super, super proud of. If I'm being honest, like I got asked by a company about just a like who's one of the best young local high flyers in your area, and I was like, well, I'm gonna say Brother Earth first, just because he's my boy. And then I was trying to think of somebody that was around, like that was like, and I couldn't, and I'm not trying to, again, it's not to put anybody down, but I couldn't think of anybody that's better than he is at the moment. He's on a different level right now, but like he's not like he's the man, but like he's operating at a different level for him. And like, he's operating at a level where like he can go with the dudes, like that's why, on the October 1st show for the 7-year anniversary, like he's in there with Tyler Thomas, who's by far the best wrestler that Canada has like never heard of. And, and amazing. Kevin Blackwood, who's one of the best wrestlers that everybody's heard of, this is going to be a test for Brother Earth. And, win, lose or draw, like he is going to learn a thing or two about a thing or two. And he's going to have an incredibly good, like big stage to do it. And when I say big stage, it's still the same room with 100 people, but I mean, like, if we're ever going to have eyeballs on a show, like, that's going to be the one. So, you know, I'm excited to see him step up and just to see how he handles that situation, just because that's the biggest match of his career. We got other kids like Mikey Jenkins, for example, who's, you know, he's still starting out. He's still very, very green, very fresh. But you know, I challenged him at the season finale and I just wanted to see what he was made of. And like, I made sure that that, yeah, he could go, man. Like he could go. Like I put him through 18 minutes of pure hell and he stuck with it and he got the win, you know? So, that's a big thing for him. We got Nilo Reyes, who's another kid that I'm unbelievably proud of. Like we spoke about him earlier, like this kid just, he just connects with this other fan base in a manner that like I could never possibly dream of, you know? We've got some other things coming up that that people are going to know about here shortly, you know, and I'm excited for people to see what we've got in the oven, so to speak.
Is Boris one of your students?
Boris is not one of our students. No? Boris trains at Battle Arts, actually.
Okay, I just saw him on Friday for the first time, and I was like, where'd you come from?
But yeah, he's an interesting cat, isn't he?
Very, yes. But I love the shout out to both Crystal brother, like Crystal and Brother Earth off the like off the top are two people that I've really kind of hit it off with since I've been coming to Crossbody. So like, and you're talking about like the high flying for Brother Earth, and like it's so hard not to just call him by his shoot name the way, but like,
it is. Yeah.
But like, I was sitting and watching him warm up
because he's finale. Such a his shoot name. You know what I mean?
Yes. But I was sitting and watching him warm up, and like he was just like doing just rope walking spots around the ring, and I was just like, well, no fucking way.
I was like,
can't wait to see his match tonight.
Yeah. And his mind is operating on a weird level right now. And it's I'm enjoying seeing his creativity and what he's doing with it.
Absolutely. Ingenuity is the word that I think of when I'm, every time I watch him, anytime he's near, if he's going to the corner, he's not hitting the corner like anyone else hits the corner.
Dude got a carrot over.
Yes, he got, yes. Also he got vegetables. Like this man got vegetables over with the
big
youth, with children.
Big deal.
There were kids trying to eat vegetables at the show on Friday.
Every parent went up to him in his match and were asking for the vegetables so then that way they could eat them. It was wild.
Every parent's favorite wrestler. also, you mentioned, Alicia's in here. Say, Crossbody Pro Wrestling, appointment viewing for me. Have to see it live every week. Absolutely.
Alicia. Love Alicia.
I'm just going to kind of pull the Band-Aid off real quick because we're getting short on time here, but you did kind of mention Mikey Jenkins through about 18 minutes of hell. Having felt 0.5 seconds of that hell, very, very much more endeared to Mikey Jenkins as a wrestler, because
you only ate one. I think Mikey ate upwards to about 40 or 50.
You brutalized him. Like it was.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do, Mike. It's kind of what like some, you know, Daniel Bryan, he'll wrestle the hell out of you. You know what I mean? I kicked really hard and punch really hard and chop really hard. That's my thing. And when you have a thing, you got to stick with it.
True.
Absolutely. So I have been kind of teasing this all week, but you know, the Fightful main channel did hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of August. And
congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely incredible feat. Do it for Fightful over Book Next, and maybe I'll take another one. But yeah, so you know, my incentive for that was if we do it by the end of August, I would take a chop. So, you know, Here we are.
I don't know. I don't do these, by the way. Like, people have asked me to do. I fucking hate doing these. For the reason you're going to see very soon. But, like, I don't like doing these. But you know what? I like Mike a lot. Mm-hmm. And this was for a good cause. So I decided to go forward with it. So this is my disclaimer for you.
Yes. Additional disclaimer. I'm not in the habit of asking for these. And had there not been something like 100,000 subscribers happening, this would have never happened either.
True.
So, and now that it's happened, it shan't ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Mike Indeed here from the Indeed Podcast on Fightful Overcooked. Thank you very much for getting Fightful to 100K YouTube subscribers. As promised, Big Ben here is gonna overhand shot me, because that's what you all voted for, so fuck my life.
For the people.
Yes, for the people. Thank you so much for supporting Fightful and continuing to do so.
Yes. You ready?
I think so.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So, I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up. I need to kind of warm up first. I didn't wrestle. I got like a sitting chair. So usually that's a good sign that if, like, my hand hurts, I can imagine that's Titty's feeling. So to the 100,000 subscribers from Fightful, thank you very much for subscribing. And by the way, Sean, you don't even follow me, so do that.
Hey. Yeah, shout out to Travis Moore and his girlfriend looking on in horror in the background.
I think Travis thought I was about to beat your ass. Like, I honestly, that was like the vibe that I was getting. Like,
yeah.
I think him and his girlfriend were literally looking like, is Ben about to smash this dude? Like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, no,
because again, I don't do these things.
Yeah, no context. A couple people did.
Yeah.
Sway knew to stick around because Sway knew it was coming. You could hear Sway's laughter in the background. That was a good portion of it. Matt Grant as well. Decided to beat everyone to it. So I had some time to kill today. I like supporting my friends too. So support Wishender, some London, Ontario deathcore. I figured we should get a nice edit of that too. So. Without further ado, headphone warning. I told Reg I had
that
one for him today.
Incredible.
I told Reg I had one for him today.
Oh my god.
So perfect for our show, man. That's like,
wow.
I'm unstoppable. You can't stop me.
Thank you.
My chair's broken.
Holy fuck. That was great. Mm, thank you for not telling me in advance about that.
Oh, no. The secret edit is never told. No, perfect. That's all. The secret edit is always a surprise. Mm-hmm.
I needed that, boys.
Yes.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Perfect.
All right. Crossbody Pro Wrestling, Season 2 of Uproar.
Yep.
It premieres
debuts tonight. In 10 minutes.
10 minutes, baby. The countdown. 10 minutes.
The link is in the video description below. So you don't even have to, like, search it. You can just go show more, click the link, you'll be right there, ready to go, watch the broadcast. And with this final 10 minutes, is there anything else you wanted to shout out, plug, get off your chest? Anything, Ben, floor is yours.
I just want to thank everybody that helps out with Uproar, man. Like, there's a lot of unsung heroes there. Like my my producer Ryan, you know, our camera guys Dylan and Ryan, you know, like even the young guys that like help out with just like, you know, making sure that we got the canvas on correctly and the ring skirts on properly. And like, you know, the Mikey Jenkinses of the world who stay after the show is done and make sure that once everybody's out of the locker room, that like we actually clean the locker room, because the locker room is still a part of the church and the church allows us to have that room for the night to do our thing. So, you know, you want to almost keep it, you know, better than when they gave it to us. So, you know, just those kind of people. I like anybody who's watching that, you know, watches Uproar at all, or if you even just support Canadian wrestling at all. I'm not one of those people that says support Canadian wrestling, but what I really mean is support what I do and what I do only. Like, I genuinely want everything to succeed. I want everybody to succeed. The more that everybody and everything succeeds, the bigger everything becomes and the cooler, more like the more stuff that we can do. It's just, I don't understand like why people on our level hate what we do. There's so many people in wrestling that I'm like just seeing lately that seem to fucking hate wrestling. And I don't get it. Like, we have the privilege of being involved in the goddamn greatest business in the world, in a business where it doesn't matter if a promoter says that you're this or you're that or you're that. We have the ability to make stars of ourselves just through the ability of having a social media presence if we do this the right way. We've never been in a time where this business is better than it is. You know, and I just I just love and appreciate and thank all of the people who don't get those thanks, the people that work behind the scenes, and the wrestlers and the people that are doing the hard work to make themselves better and make everybody else better and really doing their part in making Canadian wrestling noticed by not just the world, but by Canada. We need that, those eyeballs too, still, you know. As you could tell, I'm just very passionate about pro wrestling, and I love having other passionate people in my world. So if you're one of those people, God bless you. And if you're not one of those people, I don't know why you're in the business, man. Go do something else.
All right. Well said. And you know, again, Crossbody Pro Wrestling Uproar Season 2 starts in 7 minutes. Watch it as soon as we're done. Follow Ben on Twitter at or X, whatever the fuck you call it. Nobody calls it X. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Twitter.
It's
at Big Ben is angry. Follow Cross.
Sorry, one last thank you. Thank you, you guys, for the ability to give me this stage and platform. I know that we planned this out a long time ago, and I know that you've pretty much kind of given me the open invite and stuff. But if you didn't have this platform built, then we would be talking to nobody. So thank you for putting me in front of your audience and whatnot. And thank you for the hard work that you guys do, you know, making wrestling as seen as possible. So you guys don't get enough respect, and not just you two in general, but like people that, you know, have shows like you guys, and you know, who do the work to talk about the stupid bullshit that we do. Yeah. So God bless you guys, man.
Thank you
Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Body Pro Wrestling at CBPW Academy, all the link, yeah, YouTube link in the description below. I want to thank you, Ben, for coming and joining us. You thanked us. No, thank you for coming on the show. Personal thank you to you as well, because people don't know this. Ben's kind of like my motivator and not, I wouldn't say trainer, but he's definitely like been giving me the fitness advice that has kept me on the right track and going every day. So, yeah.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And Mike is thankfully giving the water a try. So, bless your hard work, and I respect that a lot, my friend, because again, it takes anybody can say they're going to do anything that they want. And for some reason, everybody likes to talk about the things that they're going to do and never just do the damn thing. And you're doing the damn thing. So respect to you and keep up that hard work, because you're going to see bigger and better results the more that you stick with this. And the more that you stick with this, you're going to notice, you're going to feel better. And the better you feel, the more you're going to want to tighten things up. You're going to notice that you're going to want to tighten your diet up, because you're just going to want to see if you can feel better than you do. And then you're going to want to do more cardio because you just want to see if you can go. And that, my friend, is what fitness is all about. It's a fucking personal challenge that only leads you to your best fucking results. And that's why I respect you for doing it.
Ah, you're amazing, Ben. Thank you. Reg, where can everyone find you at?
At Righteous Reg on all your socials. Every Saturday, I'm on with Philip Lindsay, Grapsity Podcast. I'll be on later tonight with Denise on the Ring of Honor, on the AEW Dynamite post show. Tomorrow, I'm on with Kate for the Ring of Honor post show. And tomorrow's Ask Grapsity. There's also everything everywhere. I'm always someplace. I'm very tired. Still, very excited to be here, though. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm going to follow you right now, Reg.
Yes. Also, side note, go to Premier Streaming Network, order the day 3 package, and watch Grapsity live. That shit was amazing. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations, my friend. I've sat here smiling from ear to ear watching that.
Mm-hmm. Damn, Reg, you got a lot of followers. Shit. Again, thank you for having me on your show.
Too many, Ben. Honestly, too many. Yeah.
Myself, you can follow me at Mike is Indie on Twitter. Every week here with Reg talking independent wrestling. Next week we'll be joined by the Death Fighter himself, Akira. And who knows? Who knows how that's gonna go? Mm-hmm. We'll see you there. Thank you again for spending some time with us. Support independent wrestling, buy merch, buy shirts, go to shows, and go watch CrossFun.
See you in the chat.
Yes, bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.